Welcome to BioBalance Health podcast number 27. I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin, the medical director of BioBalance Health, and with me is Brett Newcomb, and he's a counselor and here to help us understand statement that my patients make when they come in for their new patient visit. I think I'm crazy. I think it's all in my head. Please tell me it's not. And he's here to tell all of those who have physical problems, physiologic problems with hormone loss, that they actually are not crazy.
Well, they're not crazy. And a lot of people don't know it. People get labels. People get attitudes in their head. They are told by family members or physicians, you know, there's something wrong with you. And they internalize that message and they adjust their behavior. They adjust their behavior to try to present themselves as if something is not wrong.
They usually don't look, you know, they are great actresses. They come in, they look perfect. Everything's fine. They don't crawl in like I did, you know,
One of the things that I love about these conversations is you always use the feminine because you focus on the feminine mindset. I was thinking more about men who are beginning to have erection problems or who are beginning to not be able to function in the way that they historically have functioned.
Interestingly enough, in practice, men don't think they're crazy. They think that there's something terribly wrong with their bodies and that they're really sick and that they're going to die. This is
my friend is dying. Does that
mean
I am?
That's right. I'm not getting enough blood flow there, so am I going to die? I have a heart attack, and some of that is a nugget of truth in terms of when your testosterone drops, then you start getting atherosclerosis, and then it does lead down the line to that issue. But
all those deterioration changes that we have not had the medicine to understand. And so the psychology to understand them, at least the not necessarily professional psychology to understand them, has been to say, well, you're just depressed or you're just getting old or that's the way our bodies work. And so make adjustments. And so people attempt to do that. And the really sad part that I see in relationships and marriages is that they don't communicate with each other about what they're afraid of and what they're aware of. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I were having a conversation a little earlier about how aware are men generally about the way their bodies function. And you say from your conversations with them, their awareness is pretty localized.
Yeah, it's very localized, between the knees and the belt.
Yeah, and women, on the other hand, are taught from infancy to be aware of not only of their bodies, but everybody that they're responsible for. They keep track of all the allergies and treatments and medicines and injuries that everybody they know has had. And they're very sensitive to nuance-based changes within themselves. And so when those nuance-delicate changes begin to occur in their functioning, and they go see a physician, generally a general practitioner, and they say, something is happening, or my husband is not happy with me, I'm not sexually responsive the way that he wants me to be, is there something wrong with me?
And the physician is thinking, that's not my job.
Yeah, exactly.
And, wait a minute. This isn't something I can fix. I don't know this stuff.
I'm not a sex therapist or I'm not potentially even a gynecologist. And so I don't know all of that. But what I know is people get old, bodies deteriorate, things change. So they say, you're getting old, your body's deteriorating, things are changing. They may say, you're depressed. Why don't I give you something for anxiety or depression that you can take, and that may help. But the anxiety and depression medicines often have side effects that impact sexual performance.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, they are very impaired by they feel happy, but their sex life is terrible.
Well, those antidepressants and anti-anxieties often put a floor or a ceiling under how far you can fall or how high you can go. They don't necessarily, they don't make you feel happy. They don't dope you in any particular way.
No, nothing really bothers them. They come in and say, I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah, they get flat. They get numb. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people get numb because they've learned how to numb themselves as a defense mechanism, which enables them to just go away somewhere and not feel the things that are going on. My side of all of this, or my concern about all this, is to talk about the habituation patterns that people develop in relationships and the conflict that that can lead to, both before and after the kind of treatment that you offer. People that have made accommodations to fit within a range of acceptability in terms of sexual performance. Couples that have an imbalance in terms of desire or frequency, or that have differences.
And in that, the desire issue, Masters and Johnson talked about, It's like, it is like a being hungry. Some people love to eat a lot and some people don't like to eat very much and they like to eat often. I mean, it's a different kind of...
Their bodies have different rhythms and different
needs.
That's
the same kind of thing that is the difference in couples in terms of sexual desire.
Right. And so part of what I have to do with couples is to talk to them about, I mean, people ask me all the time, what's normal? What's average? What's normal? What are we supposed to do? And what I talk to them about is finding what the overlapping comfort zone is for the two of them so that they're okay with what they're doing and not worry about a label like normal.
Right. And they have to negotiate a deal.
And that means they have, that means they have to talk. They have to communicate.
And that's a big problem because they don't usually talk. It's supposed to be something you know. You're supposed, especially with women, women think that their husbands know what they want, what they need, what they don't want. They just think it's, you know, part of being a guy.
Yeah, you think it's instinctive. We grow up in a puritanical society that gives really mixed messages about sex and sexual behavior and sexuality. That is conflicted or compounded by all the mass media messages that we get around eroticism.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you have these conflicts as an adolescent or as a teenager, and you think you know from movies that you see or jokes that your friends tell or things that you think it's an instinctive response to know how to be sexual and compatible.
Mm-hmm.
The sexual part may be physiologically instinctive, but the compatibility part is not. And the performance skill set is one that needs to be learned.
It's like learning how to dance with somebody.
Well, exactly.
And that's what people kind of describe, and then they've lost the tune.
Unless you're always going to dance alone.
They've lost. They've lost the tune. They can't follow
the music.
The music anymore,
yeah.
And then they also don't want to dance anymore.
Yes.
And so those things come back, but then they've adjusted so much to it.
Right.
That even though they have the desire, they slip back into, oh, counting the dots on the ceiling or whatever, you know, they slip back into going, okay, I'd rather be doing the wash, even when they have the desire back.
You know, we've overlapped clients, which is how we came together. Some of my clients were seeing you, some of yours were seeing me, and so they talked to each of us. And it's not at all unusual to hear somebody before the treatment protocols that you do with the bioidentical hormone replacements to say, yes, I felt it slipping away, but I was glad because the pressure was going away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an excuse to hang it on. I could say, well, my doctor says I'm depressed, or my doctor says I'm getting old, or that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to adjust. You know, why don't we play pinochle, or why don't we go for a walk? And you know, you need to get over that because that's over, or it's diminished.
Yeah, their lives are over at 45.
Yeah.
You know, or their sex lives are over at 45, which causes
hurtful
conflict.
And angry. And
yeah.
Especially if you're 10 years older than your partner, and you're having those changes, but your partner is not.
Even in the same age group, a lot of men don't have changes until after 50. So the women are getting this change starting at 40, or even I have a few patients at 38,
yeah.
Or women who've had hysterectomies at a much younger age for endometriosis generally, and they have no ovaries, they lose it then.
So they lose it then.
And the best predictor, as you've said, of if you're going to have sex when you're 80 is if you're having sex when you're 40. And it, within a couple.
Yeah.
So you have habits, and even without hormones, some of those habits continue.
Well,
However,
that's what I want to talk about today, because when they come in where they've created a habituated or adaptive pattern that incorporates loss, and then you do the treatments that you do that replace the loss.
And let me just state that what we're replacing, that nobody else tends to think. They write articles in medical journals, do women really need androgens? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so far behind what the public needs and what the baby boomers
don't
need.
Don't you like it when men decide what women need?
Yeah, I love it. I was in a conference once, and it was all men way back when, and they said, women don't care if they have periods until they're 80, and all the men are nodding their heads. And I'm in the back of the room, and I put my hand up, and I said, excuse me, I take care of thousands of women, and they don't want a period after menopause, by the way.
Yeah.
And this guy was furious, but they had to hear that.
You stepped on his parade.
I did.
Yeah, and good for you.
And so there's a lot of that going on, and women are just now in the medical, in the GYN community.
Mm-hmm.
We're just now about even in terms of number. So we haven't really had a voice.
Right.
And so we were taught by men, and And often, until I kind of broke away and did my own research, we were telling people what the male teachers taught us. Now we're the teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the question then becomes is which is it, perception or science? You know, is it a masculine perception, or is there science to support the position that you have?
Supports what I do. And the way I do replacement is I give testosterone pellets and estrogen pellets if necessary. Mm-hmm. But testosterone is the key hormone to most of the aging problems that women have, and men as well, but later in their lives. So when they come in and get that, they then kind of feel like they were 35 again, unless there's intervening medical problems, which kind of complicate matters.
But, like diabetes or blood pressure or something like that.
Yeah. And so they go back to square one. They have their desire back. They don't know how to use it. And so that's why they're really not crazy. They don't think they're crazy anymore. They feel justified.
And that's where then after the treatment with you, they need to come back to me or someone like me to work on awareness and attention and communication, discerning how to match rhythms, if not again, then finally. Mm-hmm. You know, and that comes through talking. It comes through being able to share, these are the things that I'm interested in. These are the things that makes me feel good. These are the things that I would like to have. Where are you with all of that?
You have to set up time in your day to do that. And some people don't set up time in their day. They don't say, oh, we're going to, you know, honey, I want to talk, usually is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
probably not a good way to approach it.
And your reaction is, oh, crap. Yeah. What have I done now?
Right. So when you, even a deep discussion is not always fun because it's like touching a hot stove. Most of those deep discussions were bad instead of good.
I don't want people to start with a deep discussion. I want people to try to break the habituation pattern. What happens is, it goes back to learning habits. We were talking before we started the podcast. As a child, when you learn a new skill set, like tying your shoes, you have to pay attention to it. You have to focus on it. You have to break it down into learnable segments. And so it takes your full concentration.
In terms of sexual activity, what are we talking about?
Well, in terms of intimacy, in terms of relationship, what happens is when you first meet somebody and you are infatuated, you really pay a lot of attention. And then once the relationship is established and I have a sense of what your rhythms are, what you like or don't like, of how you are, what jokes you laugh at, how to set up an encounter, all of that, then I start to respond to my sense of that rather than to continue to watch you. So over time, there develops a gap between changes that you're making as you mature and develop and grow and as your interests change, and the way that I'm behaving towards you, the way that you're behaving towards me. I got married when I was 19 years old. I grew up in a family that never ate pizza. I didn't like pizza. I went off to college and everybody ate pizza and it was like, no. And so my wife learned, who loved pizza, that I didn't like pizza. And 20-something years went by and we were having a conversation one night about what do you want for dinner? And she said, well, I would love to have pizza, but you hate pizza. And I just started laughing hysterically because over those 20 years, I had accommodated enough, surrendered enough, experimented enough that I had learned to like pizza.
And pizza really means something that she really liked, like sexually, and you didn't really care for. So
and so you learn to make those accommodations out of love, out of affection, out of grace, out of a desire for peace. But you internalize some of those messages and you change and you adapt. And so part of the issue that I have in a dysfunctional relationship is how much attention, how much consciousness are you bringing to the conversation? How much attention are you paying to what she likes, how she likes to be touched? You know, we were talking the other day about sensory issues and that pressure is comforting and calming, but sometimes a light touch or a light stroke or a tickle touch is irritating and frustrating, and for some people, even painful.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
It depends on the person. So what you have to do is pay attention and find out what this person likes. And then when you want to be close to them, you want to be intimate with them, have them feel good about being with you, then you want to touch them in the way that you know brings them comfort and pleasure and satisfaction. And so whether that is eye contact, whether that is dancing, whether that is walking, holding hands, whether that is smiling, whatever it might be, on a spectrum of stimulus events, you want to pay attention. And so what you have to do is break the natural human tendency to habituate. Okay, this worked the last three times, it'll work the next 5,000.
Yeah.
People change. Things change.
And in this at this age, everything changes.
Everything changes.
I mean, it's one of those things where women feel like someone else has invaded their body. Their body's not even theirs. Their brain is not working appropriately because they've lost sometimes both estrogen and testosterone. But testosterone's key for being able to think. They can't think. They can't do what they used to do productively. And they feel like they're not even there.
Yeah, so you reset the body clock, but you also have to reset the behavior. You have to be infatuated again. You have to fall in love again. You have to pay attention again, or for the first time.
Right, and that's definitely one of the issues, because some people they just were in lust and got married, and then they lost the lust, and then they quit paying attention.
Yeah, they just became a merger, a business arrangement for functionality.
Or they had multiple children, and the children took a lot of time, and they just grew away from each other. They didn't have time or intimacy time, or it depends on your house, you know, kids in your bed and disturbances. So that has always been one of the issues that patients talk to me about. How do we get around that? And now that we've lost our sex lives, how do we get it back now that we have desire and now we don't have kids in the house? The
happy,
empty nest.
Satisfying relationships where the bodies are healthy and capable of functioning involve attention and focus and communication. And if you didn't know that before, you have to learn it now.
That's very good. And no, you're not crazy. You just need hormones and counseling.
Just unskilled.
Yes. You just practice.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Thank you.
For giving us all of your information that you give to your patients in your office and lecture about. This is our 27th podcast. We're going to continue to do podcasts on interesting subjects that our patients bring up. You can listen to our podcasts at my website, biobalancehealth.com. You can go to drkathymaupin.com and read our blog, which is generally a transcription of this plus other things that I like to write about and patients have asked me about during the day. So I sit down and it's like a diary.
Well, and Kathy, what if they don't want to just read or listen? What if they have a question or a need for a more immediate response? What can they do?
Well, we take questions by email and then we either, if the patient wants to, that we'll answer them privately. And then sometimes by doing that, open yourself up to us talking about the problem.
Which we're going to do
podcast
number 28.
That's right. So if you have any questions, you can email us or you can call my office to make an appointment, which is 314-993-0963. We're in St. Louis. I look forward to next week talking about how to make a medical decision.
All right. Thank you.